Hey Steve, how you doing? I hope you are enjoying your holiday. So we've dedicated the entire morning to Easter celebration, Easter holiday, feel good Monday, happy hour Monday, and we've done giveaways courtesy of an anonymous gifter who dropped 50k, and we've given out about 45k already. In that 50k, we have 5k left. Hopefully before the end of the show, we'll give out the remaining 5k to somebody, okay? And just to add that Joy, the market woman, her own share has been taken away from, the money, so it's only 5k, that is left now. But let's use the last 1 hour, because on Monday we have extended crossfire. So the last 1 hour, let's talk about, the biggest story right now, and that is the bill that just passed second reading at the House of Reps, trying to stop medical doctors, from traveling abroad or from giving them necessary licenses. Until after 5 years serving the nation. That is the biggest story right now going, and everybody is talking about it. Well, we're in luck because we have joining us on the show this beautiful morning, Dr. Emeka Innocent Oji. He's the president of the Nigerian Association of Resident Doctors. He joined us via Zoom this morning. You can watch live, by the way, on Facebook and on YouTube, and let us know what you think. He's a senior registrar, Department of Orthopedics and Trauma Surgery, Federal Medical Center, Umuahia in Abia State. Dr. Oji, a very lovely morning to you, and thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you. Good morning, Nigerians.
Let's begin, Dr. Oji. Talk to us. How did you receive that news when you heard?
Well, first of all, I want to start by at least saying that it is good that finally the top government officials, be it in the executive or in the legislature, have come to realize or have come to agree with us at this phenomenon of brain drain in the medical sector that we've been shouting about all this while. We have been on this matter for so long, and we have tried as much as possible to engage the government to make them understand the implication, and we have proffered solutions severally on how to address it. The only problem now is that the solution that the honorable member is trying to introduce is going to worsen the problem. It won't solve it. And you see, if you go through that bill closely, you even realize that the bill is an affront to the Constitution of Nigeria and to other enabling laws that guarantees freedom of movement, dignity of labor, laws against enslavement, and all that. And you see, probably because he's not in the medical sector and he didn't bother to carry anybody along, he quoted figures there that are completely untrue. You cannot say that we have 10,000 doctors in Nigeria. That can easily be identified not to be true. But we at least commend him for trying to bring up a solution. However, the solution that he's trying to bring about is completely outlandish and cannot effect the changes he's trying to effect. Thank you.
Dr. Oji, you know why people are talking about this? Because this bill, despite all the flaws that you've mentioned now, has passed through second reading. Shouldn't that be a concern to you?
It is really, even though we also know that sometimes bill can be easily passed like that in quick succession in the House of Rep. But again, these are the things that we also want to draw attention of our honorable members to. We know they mean well for Nigeria, but before you engage on things that will directly affect a group of people, it makes sense for you to involve them, at least hear them out, hear their leaders out. Because you will gain a lot from doing that. I'm sure they are already seeing the nationwide outcry. In fact, it has gone global, because I'm sure you are aware that even the World Medical Association has come into the matter already. They have also condemned it. So seeing all this outrage, it will be a big lesson to them. You can't just try to make laws for people without carrying those people along. I know they will say yes, public hearing is there, but before you even get to that, before at the inception, when you are trying to conceptualize the bill, you need to carry people along so that you don't get to the stage of public hearing and it will be thrown out. All your effort will be wasted. And that's why you see them, even when they get to that stage of public hearing, when they even see that, look, this thing is totally being condemned, they'll just look at the effort they have put into it and begin to insist that they pass such laws. And you end up having laws that are not implementable or that are even that are anti-people, you know. So that's the problem.
I want you to drill down on this particular bill, because I mean, look, the House of Reps is the House of Reps. They will only, I mean, you and I, we can say that the lawmaker didn't do, you know, a thorough job with the numbers that he quoted in that. But he has members, colleagues at the House of Reps who also did not even bother to do anything about the numbers that the gentleman, you know, quoted, and they didn't see any problem with the to them, they are seeing it as a good idea to be able to, you know, keep doctors in country and have them serve, you know, the fatherland before they can leave the country. That's their focus. That's what they are looking at as to how to keep doctors in country. Now, talk to me, Dr. Oji. What should be the first thing to encourage doctors to stay in Nigeria? Because I know that this is not just about doctors alone. We have other healthcare, you know, practitioners in this basket as well. Almost everybody is living on a daily. You can give us I know you have the numbers. You can please, you know, throw in the numbers if you've got them, you know, for us. But let's start with the basics. What are those things that you feel should be taken care of by trying to, if you're trying to keep people in country to be able to serve their country, either by legislation or by other means? But to you, as someone who is the head of the resident doctors, talk to me.
Last year, we did a study to try to find out the enormity of the problem we are talking about. That study also went ahead to assess the main reason why people are leaving. Let's call a spade. The main reason people are leaving, doctors, nurses, pharmacists, is because of poor remuneration. The truth is that the salary structure we are using now, called Commerce 2009, it came into effect 14 years ago. And that's what we are still using up till now. Since then, you have inflation, you've had the dollar exchange rate skyrocketing. If I tell you that what I was paid as a house officer, that is fresh graduate who are doing house job, you know, what I was paid several years ago, if you compare with the dollar exchange rate with what I'm being paid now, you realize that I was even getting more then. See, nobody will see this level of underpayment and continue to stay. Secondly, the issue of a poor infrastructure, you know, poor working environment, insecurity, and all that. See, we are not asking for too much. And see, there is no shortcut to this thing. If you do not fund the health sector aright, you are going to continue to have this problem. No doctor wants to stay in an environment where you know what to do to help your patients, but you don't have the facilities to do that. You are not encouraged. You don't have incentives. Why not bring up, you know, welfare plans, welfare packages that will keep us here? If, for instance, you give doctors houses in form of mortgage that they are supposed to pay over 5 years and all that, are they going to leave? They will not leave, because I mean, they have this mortgage to offset over a period of time. If you give them car loans and all that, but they are not thinking about that. They are thinking about forcefully keeping us here without throwing in the needed funds to resuscitate the system. We have been talking about this poor funding for a long time. I think the last time I was on this program, I talked about Abuja Declaration of 2001, where heads of states of African continent came up with this policy that for any nation to make any visible improvement in their health sector, that they have to budget minimum of 15% annually to health. That was signed in 2001 in our federal capital territory, Abuja. Nigeria was a signatory to it. But since then till now, this country has never passed, from the records available to us, we have budgeted more than 6% to health. In fact, the 2023 budget, that's this year's budget, the figure we are seeing is around 5 point something percent. So if you don't have this adequate funding, right, how are you going to have enough resources to take care of the remuneration challenges we talked about, the infrastructure and all that? The other issue is that, again, proper research should have meant that this honorable member should have told us, if you're talking about medical education being heavily subsidized to an extent, okay? Because it is too simplistic to say they pay this amount in US, they pay this in Nigeria. What is that payment meant for? Or maybe you try to compare with what they are paid in private institutions. You cannot do that. What the payment is meant for what? Because by the time you put all this into consideration, you will see that the subsidy they are talking about is not even much. And again, is there any special subsidy they are giving medical doctors in school or medical students that they are not giving others? Is there any special? So why are there single out doctors? These are the questions that they should answer. You cannot enslave doctors. And you want to say that, okay, this doctor is fully qualified to practice, but you are not going to give him his license. What is he going to be doing for 5 years? You want to create a pool of unlicensed doctors to be practicing for five years. Who does that? And again, this will not even stop people from leaving. If they have done that, they will know that even as a doctor without license, you can leave. Okay, and by the time you start bringing in these draconian laws, you are going to drive people away from even coming into the practice, because they will just look at it and say, why am I coming to enslave myself? They will simply go to other
countries. Yeah.
And no, it's not even country. They will go to other courses. You know, and with time, you start reducing the number of medical students and ultimately the number of medical graduates, and you end up worsening the shortfall we are talking about.
I want to ask whether you feel this argument is fair on the part of the Lagos lawmaker who put that forward. He said that because the government is partly responsible for your training, so it's only fair for doctors to serve. What do you say to that?
That is what I just addressed. It is a bogus statement. Government is partly responsible for our training. How? To what extent? Is it only doctors? Is there any special subsidy they are giving us? You are a journalist. I'm sure you know. Have you heard of any special subsidy that they give medical students in Nigerian universities that they don't give others? We pay our tuition. We buy our books. We do other things. So if they are saying that tuition we are paying is subsidized, to what extent? Let them come up with the figures. And again, is it only doctors? Is it only medical students? Why are they singling us out? That is the problem. You know, so we are calling for them to withdraw the bill. In fact, they shouldn't even wait for public hearing and all that, because I'm sure they are seeing the nationwide and global condemnation of that bill. I should think that the essence of trying to bring up a bill is to solve a problem.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Now they are seeing that it is really being condemned. There's no point waiting for public hearing and all. They should withdraw the bill before the end of this week.
Let's talk about the numbers, Dr. Oji. How many resident doctors do we have? How many graduates do we churn out? I'm focusing on doctors because you represent the doctors. Maybe some other time when we have nurses here, then we can talk about nurses and pharmacists and the rest of them. But how many graduates, on the average, do you think our universities churn out, public universities now, every year? And how many do we have currently in residency?
Okay, so as far as the numbers are concerned, the number of medical graduates that enter the system every year, the figures we have as our last time was between 3,000 to 4,000 yearly. But those things can change based on, like, if ASU goes on strike. Like last year, I'm aware that the thing dropped to below 3,000. Okay, and it is not just for Nigerian trained medical graduates. You have people even trained outside the country that enters the system. So the total number is from the figures available to us, is around between 3,000 to 4,000. Now, for the number of doctors in residency training, it's difficult to tell, because as I'm talking to you now, people leave. So if you have a number as at yesterday, you come to a different day, it changes. People leave every day. Okay, so but we know that it hovers around around 9 to 12,000, you know, across so the country.
I'm looking at you awestruck, shocked, because you said 3,000 to 4,000 doctors into the system yearly. What are we supposed to have? What's the number we're supposed to have? Let's say we want to be self-sufficient, or we want to have the normal figures.
The truth is that we need to expand our training institutions producing medical doctors, because the WHO acceptable doctor to patient ratio is 1 to 600. Nigeria is, from the figures available to us, Nigeria is currently doing 1 to 10,000. So for you to be able to bridge that gap, you need to increase capacity for training, provide more institutions, provide more teaching hospitals, you know, and all that, provide more trainers. Again, you can't do this without funding. I keep saying it, there's no shortcut. If government wants to address this thing, they have to accordingly fund the health sector, fund education sector. Because we are talking about infrastructure here, personnel, remuneration, and all that. You know, so as long as you don't do that, you won't be able to address this issue.
Hmm. Dr. Oji, let's take a few calls before our first break. When we return from the break, we'll talk some more, because I have other areas that I want you to speak to, especially on that bill, because that bill is really... it's really causing a lot of debate out there. I would also like for us to talk about the red list that Nigerian doctors or health workers have been placed on. I'd like to get your reaction to that, but let's quickly get some calls in via the telephone lines 0700 993 993 993, and 01 465 7190. On the that's the female only line. Please go through to the point where you're calling us. A break is almost here. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Yeah, Femi from Surulere.
Welcome.
Yes. In my opinion, I feel sometimes when we come out with bills, we should really look just beyond the surface. I think this bill is a very myopic one. Reasons being that they are looking at doctors within. You are preventing them from going out. Now, automatically, you are giving those who would probably school abroad and people who school outside Nigeria that mind that I'm going, I will not come back. The thousands of people or the number of people who go study medicine in Ukraine, Russia, and other parts of Europe, hearing this alone, that they will come and they will kind of be enslaved, automatically tells them that men, once you finish, look for a better country where the demand is high and where the conditions are better, and stay there, because your country is not giving you something reasonable. They are tying you and enslaving you. And for the people who are within, I schooled with medical students, and I didn't study medicine, but I see a lot that these people go through as students. They go through all sorts of things, and it's sad that after going through that for so many years, a minimum of 8 years, you will come out and somebody will tell you that you have to serve me again as Oga for so number of years before you'll be. It's absolutely barbaric and an enslavement, which shouldn't happen in a modern day.
Thank you to you for sharing. Let's take another call quickly. Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning, Sharon.
Good morning to you.
Dr. Oji.
Welcome.
Yeah, my name is Sharon. I'm a medical doctor here in Nigeria.
Okay.
That bill is just ridiculous, because there are so many dimensions to it. And like the doctor said, I feel like it should be withdrawn, because they're not even considering many things. One, many people that leave actually would have spent 5 years before they left, because many people are not leaving just in the year after medical school. You do your house job, you do NYSC, and then you start working a bit so you can gather money to write the foreign exam, because the monies don't come cheap. By the time you finish all that, some time would have gone. So that makes it ridiculous, for number one. Then you forget that many people that are actually living now are people that are consultants already in Nigeria. A lot of them are consultants and residents. So are you going to say, I mean, so that it doesn't even make sense in that regard. And then there is a third category of people who are doctors here in Nigeria or healthcare workers who are not even practicing. So, I mean, if the goal is to, you know, have more people in Nigeria, it doesn't even make sense in all those regards. So I feel like the bill is ridiculous. You cannot say there's nothing special you do for us when you're in medical school in Nigeria, any subsidy that's given to us that's not given to other courses. Then are you going to do the same thing for people who are in IT leaving or people who are in other professions leaving? So I feel like they should really just ridiculously take that bill away. Thank you.
A ridiculous bill should be ridiculously taken away, Sharon. Thank you. I heard you loud and clear. Dr. Oji is still here. But Lagos, we need to take this break now. When we return from this break, we'll be speaking to Dr. Oji some more. Stay with us on the Crossfire Extended. Morning to you. We'll be back.
Stay one step ahead with the latest news and trending conversations here on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Don't tell people, have you added weight? Why are you losing weight?
Yeah.
Are you eating? No, it's not your business.
That money, the pass is good, and finally!
We should be patient and pray to God that God is going to answer our prayer.
Please, this is not all about prayer. It's not like everything is not prayer. That is Nigerian mentality. It's not about finding happiness in your home. You pray.
99.3 Nigeria Info.
Your number one station for talk. Let's talk.
Welcome back to the Crossfire Extended. This morning on Nigeria Info 99.3. If you're just joining us, you're welcome. We're talking about that proposed bill that's seeking to amend that law to make resident doctors, to keep doctors in country for at least 5 years. And I have the president of the Nigeria Association of Resident Doctors, NAD, Dr. Emeka Innocent Oji. He's a senior registrar, Department of Orthopedics and Trauma Surgery, Federal Medical Center, FMC Umuahia here, Abia State. He joins me virtually. You can watch live on Facebook and on YouTube to drop your comment as we have this conversation right here in the studio. You can also let us know what you think. If you're also a doctor or a healthcare practitioner, would like to hear, you know, from you what you think about this proposed amendment, and let's understand how you are processing the entire development. Yes, it's passed through first reading, second reading. It's going to go through public hearing, and hopefully it won't be one of such bills that the public hearing will just be public hearing and then nothing would happen. Whatever they want to do with the bill, it will still be done at the end of the day. We're hoping that, you know, a voice of reasoning will prevail, especially because of the massive outcry over this bill, because it's not something that people are whispering to talk about. It's being talked about even internationally, you know, as well. Dr. Oji, thank you again for joining us on the show today. All my lines are blinking, but let's quickly get down to the other aspect of our conversation this morning, which, let's start with the UK's placement or return of Nigeria on the red list. What do you think about this? How would this impact healthcare practitioners seeking greener pastures?
Okay, well, to be honest, I've not gotten details about that development, and I will need some time to review it before I can respond appropriately.
Now, let's talk about, my next question is, what is an average day like? Because some people still would not think, I know when we talk about doctors and your agitation every now and again, it's almost on a yearly basis, really. People will say, these doctors won't say their own, it's too much. Every year they'll be coming through. What is an average day like for a Nigerian doctor working in the public sector? I mean, to properly contextualize that question, that's why I had to, you know, add that public facility there.
Okay, well, you walk around the clock. You know, as a doctor, whether you are officially on duty or not, people know that you are a doctor and they always reach out to you 24 hours whenever they have a medical condition. The truth is that there is no timeline as to when you start work and when you end. It depends on your unit, it depends on your department and all that. But usually you walk around the clock, you know, day in, day out, treating your patients. And the fact that we do not have enough doctors again has complicated the issue, because when you have one doctor doing the work of several doctors, you cannot even have your life And ultimately, you may not even be as effective as you are supposed to be. Okay, so, and that's why we've been also talking, you know, even this issue of not having enough doctors, we still have doctors who are not gainfully employed.
Imagine you know, that.
Our teaching hospitals, our federal medical centers are massively depleted, but they can't even employ seamlessly because we have this bureaucracy of government that they will have to get this multi-level approval before they can even recruit anybody. And like I said, people are leaving. But for you to even employ, you need this multi-level approval that sometimes can take up to 6 months.
Hmm.
Okay, so people are not even being brought in, you know, to fill the massive shortage that has been
created. Have you advocated for this? Has NAD advocated for this? Because I've heard this severally, Dr. Oji, to be very honest with you. Like, there are doctors outside of the net that are willing to come into, you know, the nets to come and practice, but then they are not. And every time I heard this is what I usually hear, the bureaucratic bottlenecks in recruiting them. But as NERD advocated for this, and what have you heard? What's been the feedback?
We have advocated severally by way of diplomacy engagement. In fact, some centers that have had to go on industrial action because of this massive manpower shortage across the country.
Hmm.
And because of that, there was this brain drain committee that was set up by the government last year that have been sitting. One of the major reasons for that committee is to fashion a seamless way of replacing clinical staff that have left the system without having to go the whole hog of the multi-level approval. They have come up with this one-to-one replacement attempt to shorten the time it takes the chief executive officers of the hospitals to employ clinical staff. From the report, we are also members of that committee. From the recommendation that has been adopted, it should take less than 3 months for those people to be replaced. But the committee started, I think that was in February, and finalized on that arrangement. But up till now, it is yet to be implemented. Mm-hmm. And people are still exiting the system.
What's your position on especially because this is quite important, because people pay out of pocket to access healthcare in Nigeria. Yes, we have NHIS, but that's only available to people who are officially engaged, in quotes now, by the government themselves. There are other health insurance out there for people who can afford it. I had a conversation last week about this particular insurance topic. I mean, not really about it, but it came into the entire conversation. Doctor, please, will this in any way increase access to healthcare? I know that one part of our conversation has been about shortage of manpower, but even when people are even when people visit the hospital, the facilities, there's really, it's not always very easy for people to access healthcare, and that's the truth. But when we have insurance cover, do you think that would improve the situation?
Of course, it will. You know, even the NHIS you talked about, there is this argument and this complaint about what it actually covers.
What
you know?
Covers, so, yes. Sometimes, yes.
Yes, most of the time you have a prescription, investigation, and even procedures. They will tell you that, no, this one is not incorporated. So the government has to increase the coverage, try to bring more people into it, because out-of-pocket payment for health is not something that is going to help anybody. And again, this thing is not just about the federal government. Right. Our state governments, what are they doing? Our local governments, what are they doing? So we need this multi-level involvement by all level of government. The essence is that if we have greater majority of Nigerians within the net of health insurance, you are going to have a pool of funds that will help you to do a lot, even in the health sector. It will also curtail this issue of people coming to hospital and they're not able to pay for their medicals, you know, leading to them not being able to access health, with the attendant very bad health indices we are having. You know, so important for all levels of government to improve on the health insurance, bring people into it. There's nothing that even says that even those who are not employed by the government cannot also be incorporated into the health insurance scheme. So we need a holistic approach to these things.
Indeed. So, Dr. Oji, in November last year, you were quoted to have said that about 100 resident doctors leave the country monthly to seek greener pastures. I just want an update to that. Do we still have it at 100, or it has dropped, or it has increased from what you've studied?
It has not dropped. If anything, it has increased. We are coming up with an update of that study, and I know that I have a feeling that because the preliminaries I've seen, I have a feeling that what we come out will shock Nigerians. Because you have to say, from that time we raised the alarm, has government done anything to curtail this situation apart from this bill that is even going to worsen it? As far back as last year, government started discussing with the unions in the health sector, both the doctors and the other health workers, for the improvement in their salary. Since last year till now, this is April, there's no conclusion to that yet, and this government is going to leave next month. Okay, in fact, the truth is that even this bill that has come up now, if I tell you the level of agitation, the level of anger people are having, because they are complaining that, okay, this government has said they are going to improve on our remuneration. More than 6 months after, nothing tangible has been done about it. And the legislature is trying to bring a bill that will force us to stay here. I just hope that this will not lead to this will not lead us to another level of engagement that we've been trying to avoid, because we have slated our meeting, our National Executive Council meeting we hold very soon, and these things will be analyzed. And I just hope that our members will not give us a directive to do something more drastic to draw their attention of government to this poor working condition that we've talked about, this poor remuneration, insecurity, and all that. Doctors are dying. Doctors are being killed. Doctors are being assaulted, even in our hospitals. Okay, we don't have adequate security protection, and these things happen daily. As I'm talking to you now, we have several cases, even those that happened last week. So you can't keep assaulting doctors, and you want them to stay. And I should think that the as part of the major responsibility of any government chief executive officer is the protection of staff. So you cannot come to hospital environment and you don't have adequate protection. People misunderstand your treatment line and they take it out on you. Even the issue of brain drain, of course, because people are not enough, patients will come to the hospital. At times they stay the whole day, they don't get to see a doctor because you can't divide yourself into two. And instead of channeling their grievances to the appropriate authority, they will take it out on you that is even trying to help. You know, so this is a very big issue that we are grappling with, and it is honestly becoming unbearable.
And trust me, Dr. Oji, I was going to ask a question that you just answered right now. I do not envy Nigerian doctors. No, I do not. Well, before I go to the telephone, let me quickly drop this question about hospital management. I've heard different analyses about how our hospitals are being managed by the CMDs. Some have suggested that we should get professional, managers, hospital managers, to handle our hospitals. Maybe things will change. Some have also said that, look, you have to bring somebody from the system, to be able to know how, because Dr. Oji, people go to public health facilities in this country, and more often than not, the stories are really not nice. And I'm not even talking about the services alone, even the environment themselves. People usually don't have something nice to say about them, and often than not, they blame it on management. What's the true picture? Why is it always why is the story always the same when you look at our health facilities all across the country, public health facilities that is, all across the country? Why is the story almost the same about management, the facilities?
because they are also within Nigeria. And let me even help you. Yes, there is this recent release by our sister, you know, claiming that because doctors have been the ones managing the hospitals, that things have not been going on well. But the simple question to ask is that you do the comparison, which people are managing the judiciary? Can you are they doing well? Which people are the Nigerian police? Which people are managing them? The election that we just held, which people, you know, supervised it? Are you not hearing complaints all over the place? You see, these things are not.
It's systemic, Abi. It's a system.
Systemic problem. You know, and being in the health sector, we are trying to suggest ways to improve on it, fund the health sector properly, and put mechanisms in place to checkmate corruption. If you do that, it's going to help. And as long as you don't do that, you cannot really blame the chief medical director, because they are working within the system, they are working within the available resources to them. You know, so is a as long as we don't do what we are supposed to do as a country. And I should think that government should pay attention to health, because I'm not saying that other sectors are not important, but all over the world, I've not seen any serious country that deals with their health sector. And that is why they call us essential health, essential service providers. You know, that is what they say. But you ask yourself, are they treating us that way? Anytime we, for instance, we want to go on in industrial action to agitate for our welfare, they will say, no, you are an essential worker. You shouldn't do that.
You cannot do that.
But you don't, yes, but you don't remember that we are essential when you owe us our salary. As I'm talking to you now, even some states, and that's why I mentioned states, some states are owing their doctors. Abia State government is still owing their doctors 26 months, and it is increasing every day. Salary. You know, and you have this all over, and you think people cannot agitate. It is not going to work.
25 months. Okay. Let's take a few calls. Dr. Oji. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is terrible.
Welcome. Honestly.
You know, imagine 25 months. And somebody is supposed to go to the theater and operate on somebody. Do you understand? Imagine if the children were sent home the previous day. Do you understand? What mindset would the person be working, you know, treating the patient lying down? Is it fair? All I want to ask him is, what are they doing to stop that bill? Because a lot needs to be done. They've gone on several strikes. They've done so many things that, especially during the COVID, you heard what they were being paid. Once an injection gets into your system, you already have it. And no provision is being made. Do you understand? What are they doing about it? They should kill that bill, because imagine the things that are supposed to help the generality of Nigerians. Nothing is being done about it. They are supposed to reduce their salaries at that House of Assembly and other places. Nobody is talking about it. They are not doing anything for these children, and then you want to suppress them when their parents have sold lands to train them, hoping to have a better life through them. They shouldn't allow it.
Right, right.
Good morning.
Good morning to you too. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. I really appreciate it. Dr. Oji, what are you doing?
Part of our strategy is what we are currently doing. I want to thank the various media organizations that reached out to us to air our opinion on this bill. And Nigerian Association of Resident Doctors is reaching out. We are also aware that our parent organization, the Nigerian Medical Association, and our senior brother, the Medical Data Consultant Association, they are all talking. Nigerians are talking. That's part of the strategy, because we believe that these people proposing this bill are Nigerians. They are seeing the widespread condemnation. They should withdraw the bill. Secondly, before the end of this week, we are going to write to the Speaker of the House of Representatives. We believe he's a listening person. He reasons a lot, and we know for sure that, or we believe that if he sees the other side of the story, we believe he is going to intervene and prevail on the honorable member to withdraw that bill. Because for us, this issue of waiting till public, there is no need for public. What are you coming to public hearing to listen to that you are not seeing all over? The bill is dead on arrival. It cannot work. It should be withdrawn even before it gets to the stage of public hearing. And so we continue to do that, and we observe closely what is going to happen, because we cannot allow them to proceed with that bill. Our association has given us, we have an extended national executive, officers committee meeting on Friday.
Okay.
And the condemnation was total. We have been given a directive to resist it. We are going to deploy every lawful thing available to our association to resist that bill. In fact, even the Medical Student Association, the Nigerian Association of Medical Students, they have also brought out a statement, because they are the ones, even the government is claiming that they are subsidizing their training massively without bringing up data to prove that. They have also condemned it. So you cannot have this, why this global condemnation, and you are doubling down on a bill that has been condemned. So we are prepared to use everything available to us as an association to resist that bill.
Let's take another call on our way out. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Shadi.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, once again, my name is Ambrose.
You're welcome.
Sharif, I love this bill. It's a very good one.
Okay.
But do you know what?
What?
They should go ahead and make another bill that no politician should go outside for medical treatment, so that they will be able to at least equip all the students that are, you know, the medical students and everything that they need.
Right.
So that they can turn our universities and university colleges to the Dubais and the UKs and the USs that they visit. It's a good deal. But they should go ahead. Because all this one that they are talking now, they just exempted themselves. No, they shouldn't do that if they mean well for this country. They should go ahead, make sure that they stop medical tourism for all politicians.
Right.
And then we'll begin to see a better Nigeria. God bless you.
Thank you, Mr. Ambrose. God bless you, too. Thanks for calling me. Dr. Oji, on our way out, let me double down on that last thought about medical tourism. How can this be prevented?
Okay, so even before we go into that, in 2019, we are aware that there was a bill that was proposed to force public office holders or to prevent them from going outside the country for medical tourism. And I think there is also another one to make their children school in this country. The bill didn't pass first reading. In fact, they killed it at the level of the first reading. Okay, so it is in answer to the question, to what the last can I say? So, yeah. You see, this borders on selfishness. You don't want to make a bill or make a law that will force you to seek your health care needs in Nigeria.
In country, yeah.
And you want to make a bill to keep us here. Okay, so well, I believe we have discussed this extensively. What we are proposing is that this bill should be withdrawn. The position of Nigerian Association of Resident Doctors on medical tourism is that, see, we are patriots and we believe in human rights. Anybody that wants to seek health care, his health care and is outside the country, is allowed to do that. However, do not do it at the expense of the taxpayer's money. Don't use public funds to take yourself outside for treatment. Again, so it also borders on morals. If the politicians are willing to bring up a bill on their own to force themselves to seek health care in Nigeria, we believe actually that it will help, because it's when they start visiting these health institutions that they will begin to understand the enormity of the lapidation we are talking about.
Right.
You recall that during the COVID-19 committee, presidential committee on COVID-19, their meetings, it was this current SGF that acknowledged in honesty.
That's right.
That they never knew the level of the dilapidation in
right.
the health sector until now. We commend him for that. But the truth is that since he acknowledged that publicly, From then till now, what has been done? We have not seen any visible improvement. The funding is still not adequate. Mm. The welfare is still not adequate. The remuneration is still not adequate. You know, the incentives, nobody is doing anything about that. Mm. And that's why we want to appeal. We'll continue to appeal and engage them to address all these issues. And naturally, brain drain will take care of itself. It will even be reversed. Because if people see that they are protected in the environment, that they are paid well, that they have the facilities to work with, of course, nothing will make it. Nobody actually wants to leave his country to be a second-class citizen anywhere. But when you don't have any option, when you see that you cannot cope in that environment, then you just pack your bag and Dr. Oji,
thank you so much. Thank you so much for agreeing to talk to us this morning on the show. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Lagos, that's our show today. Thank you for being a part of it. I'm Sheriff Quadri. Many thanks to Zainab, who produced the show this morning. I'll see you tomorrow at 5 on The Crossfire. Bye for now.
From Lafarge, please sign here.
What are you peeping at?
I'm looking to see if I have a delivery.
Have you checked inside the bags of Lafarge cement you took delivery of?
Inside the bag?
Yes. Lafarge is rewarding loyal customers in the Lafarge Buy and Win promo. It's happening from the 10th of April to the 15th of May 2023. See, when you buy any Lafarge cement, if you find
I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running late to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired are fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. Now, what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not